All right, committee on legislation is now in session at 12:01. We have any, first of all, let's do a roll call.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau, Director Tran,
here.
Director Yeo, Director Whitaker,
here.
Director Sheldon, Director Amezcua,
present.
Director Meeks, Director Nguyen, Director Green,
here.
We do have a quorum of the committee.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Chair. And items. Items received too late to be agendized. Any other items?
There are none.
Any visitor participation on Zoom? There are none. Okay, I got one item for consent. That calendar.
Move it.
Second.
And we have a motion. Motion to be moving. Also a second. Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Rogers.
And Rogers just locked them.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Item number two, state legislative update. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Jason Gonsalves, Happy New Year. I will start off and then turn it over to Don Gilbert for anything I miss. The legislature, as of yesterday, we'll call it the calm before the storm. The legislature did return and to convene the 2024 legislative session. We're in the second year of a two-year session, which really the most significant difference means as of August 31st of this year, all bills will be subject to sine die, which means if they don't pass by August 31st, they're dead, unlike this last session where they can roll over. They cannot this year. I said calm before the storm, but it actually was anything but calm. Yesterday when the assembly convened, they were forced to convene late, and they were forced to recess early due to protesters on the Hamas-Jerusalem issue or war. The protesters were hanging banners throughout the Capitol into the gallery, and long and short of it, it cut the session considerably short, and the Senate was able to convene, and then they came back today, and they're going back to the district after this morning's sessions. One, as we mentioned previously, we have a new speaker as of July of last year, and with the new speaker has come new committee assignments and chairman or chairpersonships. And one most notable change is the new chair of the Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee, Assembly Member Diane Pappin. Now, she's a freshman member, but I would say she's a little very unique in this, to the extent that her father served in the legislature two different stints and out of the San Mateo area. So she grew up in politics, and she should be somewhat of a breath of fresh air for the water community. She has indicated that she is, her primary focus is less on water rights and more on helping local water districts respond to climate change. So I she has signaled less of a interest again in the water rights battles we've seen in prior years. One other quick thing to note, February 5th, we'll have a new president pro tem in the Senate, Senator Mike McGuire from the far north coast. And with the new pro tem, we will see new committee assignments and leadership positions in the Senate post February 5th, which will also create new opportunities for us to educate the new chairs, pertinent chairs, as to OCWD, who you are, what you do, and work with, again, new committee chairs. We have a January, late January deadline to submit language to legislative council, and all bills have to be introduced by February 16th. So those are just two key dates. But other than that, they're back in session. Again, not a lot this week, but things will start ramping up as bill introductions take place between now and February 16th. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, turn it over to Don for anything I may have missed.
So Don sent us a nice email about helping just to give us some background. And it mentioned that she mentioned that she's going to co-sponsor the bond deal with Garcia. Is that anything that we should be aware of or looking at?
It definitely speaks to her interest in kind of continuing to work with Eduardo Garcia and picking up kind of perhaps where Eduardo left off. I think there'll be other members interjecting into the conversation, particularly as we learn more on the Senate side. Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia, while not insignificant in the conversations for this year, he did choose not to seek re-election. So this is his last and final year, but his influence on environmental issues, I don't think will be lessened because of that. It's just, I think Assemblymember Pappin will probably take a co-lead, if not the lead, on the issue now.
I guess it's my turn, Mr. Chair and directors. I just have a brief report here, but I just wanted to first of all concur with Jason's analysis of the new chair, Diane Pappin. I think basically she has a moderate style. I'm not talking politics, but her style. She likes to work with people, not fight with people. And you know, we know her pretty well and think that doesn't mean you get everything you want, but it's someone you can really work with on issues of importance to the district. And speaking of which, we were directed to obtain a meeting with Chair Esquivel at the State Water Board to discuss our advocacy around PFAS funding, cleanup funding. And so that meeting is going to happen on January 25th up here in Sacramento. The chair will be there, and his financial assistance people will be there as well. And so we look forward to hopefully a productive initiation of discussions on this issue, which leads to some actual dollars, hopefully. So that's where we are there. And that's really the conclusion of my report, and happy to answer any questions.
Are you going to send an invite out?
Yeah, we're getting the details. We just confirmed the time with the scheduler, and she's going to send details and we'll forward them to you.
Was it 2 to 4?
One to two.
One to two. Okay.
Thank you, Don. Hey, Jason, I see the destruction of the state capitol in the background. Is that?
Yeah, that's the current state of where your office used to be, Mr. Chair.
That's ugly. You mean the destruction? Yeah, okay. That's very good. Are there any other questions? Okay, seeing none, let's move to the feds.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, Happy New Year to everybody. I've got just a few comments to provide you. First of all, on appropriations, I think everybody's wondering if the federal government's going to shut down. If you want to put money down on it, I think that the biggest threat of a shutdown is around February 2nd. That's the second deadline of the two-step appropriations continuing resolution that they approved last year. January 19th is when energy and water appropriations bills continuing resolution. This funds the Bureau of Reclamation and the Corps of Engineers technically expires. The likelihood that they'll cut a deal by January 19th to avoid that deadline is slim. I have to think that they'll extend the deadline of the continuing resolution to February 2nd and try and force a comprehensive budget agreement by February 2nd for all federal agencies and departments. What that means is any resolution on community project funding requests, including OCWDs, won't be decided till February 2nd at the latest. If they are unable to reach an agreement on the appropriations bill, as I reported previously, the budget agreement, debt ceiling limit agreement, also reached last cycle, requires that they pass a continuing resolution for the remainder of the year and impose a 1% across-the-board spending cut to meet the strictures, if you will, of the Fiscal Responsibility Act. That's where we are in appropriations. I'm optimistic, though, since there is a lot of desire to just finish up the bill and clear the decks, that by February 2nd, they'll come to some kind of agreement for a year-long final spending bill. And then they'll have to turn attention almost immediately to the fiscal year 2025 budget, which the president technically submits to Congress on the first Monday of February. But that usually slips, and we probably won't see a 25 budget request from the administration until March timeframe. Irrespective of whether they meet the deadlines or don't on the 25 budget, once again, we'll have to wait probably till the lame duck for Congress to finish up any kind of final spending agreements on fiscal year 2025. So I think the way to wrap this up is to say systems all normal and operating as we would expect, basically some dysfunction in the process, but light at the end of the tunnel. So that's where we're on appropriations. Want to turn attention to PFAS. We at this point, as I've reported in the past, had hoped that the Environment and Public Works Committee in the Senate would have issued a compromise bipartisan understanding on what a PFAS cleanup bill would look like coming out of the Senate, which would hopefully include liability protection for the public sectors like water agencies like yourself, something that OCWD has been pushing very hard in Washington and at the local level. At this stage, committee staff have yet to come to terms with what a path forward is for liability protection. So we do not have a bill at this stage. The hope and expectation is that we'll have something to look at within the next couple of weeks. But even if we do have a legislative package put together that addresses liability protection measures, this is going to continue to be a slog probably into the lame duck session for final resolution and passage. And whether or not there is passage is really an open question on legislation. What might prompt passage of legislation is that we fully expect that the Environmental Protection Agency will go forward by February, March timeframe with designating PFAS as a hazardous substance subject to Superfund mandates, which means liability for cleanup for any party that was even remotely connected to a site where Superfund cleanups were initiated, or for that matter, non-Superfund cleanups were initiated and where an industrial actor who is found liable for the introduction of the contamination to the groundwater supply might look to call it third parties like public agencies who are managing groundwater basins like yourself to tie them into some kind of settlement agreement since they were managing the water supply also. If that designation happens, which we expect it will, then what that means is Congress will start hearing even more demands from the public sector and industry that is affected, that are not manufacturers of PFAS, that are affected by potential liability associated with any kind of PFAS cleanup, that they will start really pounding the halls again and asking the senators and the House members to write some kind of liability exemption for innocent parties that were not directly responsible for the manufacture or the introduction of the chemicals into the chain of commerce. So that's where we are with PFAS. Again, fully expect legislation to still percolate through the system and be addressed by the end of this session. I do want to turn attention very quickly because staff had asked me to talk about Tucson, Arizona, that recently had a lot of press about receiving $30 million from EPA for PFAS cleanup activities of their groundwater contamination. Want to put a little bit of clarity on that because, as you might be surprised to learn, EPA likes to take credit for things that it didn't really do on its own. PFAS cleanups were given approximately, there were two buckets of money totaling $10 billion in the bipartisan infrastructure law. the money was basically cut down the middle, $5 billion and $5 billion for $5 billion for cleanup anywhere, and then another $5 billion essentially for cleanup of disadvantaged communities that are impacted by PFAS. What happened was that the PFAS cleanup monies in the bipartisan infrastructure law, that money was sent on a formula basis based on the SRF drinking water formula to the states. Okay, so the money that Tucson got was through the state's SRF program, because the SRF programs were the recipients of the funding allocated. So that money is not a direct grant from EPA, notwithstanding the press reports that it sounds like it is. The other thing I want to point out is that California received $169 million in what I'll call the first slug of the billions of dollars that were made available for PFAS cleanup. Fully anticipate that there'll be additional allocations in the coming year for PFAS cleanups. And listening to Don talk about your meeting, you may want to sort of broach the subject that the state water board has this money coming in from the feds through the bipartisan infrastructure law, and that Orange County Water District should be able to get some of that assistance. So that's where we are with PFAS. And then finally, I just want to point or have a quick discussion on a Napolitano piece of legislation that I believe you have before you on the agenda. This bill has not been introduced. We had expected it to be introduced, but it has been sort of sitting on the sidelines. And the reason for that is that we expect that Representative Napolitano will seek to have this legislation put into the Water Resources Development Act of 2024 later this spring. What this bill does, it's a pretty simple, straightforward bill. In the past, the Corps of Engineers has always sort of maintained that we're not responsible, nor should we be responsible for conducting or initiating water supply projects. Specific projects that are literally just, for example, drinking water. Congress has in the past been able to deal with that by authorizing what we call environmental infrastructure projects, which tells the Corps to go and do these types of projects like drinking water, wastewater, water recycling projects, ecosystem restoration. What the Napolitano bill would simply do is, alongside dredging and navigation, water supply would be deemed a statutory responsibility of the Corps of Engineers, thereby basically giving them a green light to engage in water supply projects without, shall we say, authorization of a project through Environmental Infrastructure Project Account, which is, I believe, Section 219 of the law. So that's this Napolitano bill, based on the fact that she is retiring from Congress at the end of this year. We fully expect that one of her going away gifts will be incorporation of this language into a Water Resources Development Act bill. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I will end right now with that and answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you so much, Eric. Any questions? Yes, please.
So we typically don't take positions on non-bills. This bill has not been dropped. It does not have a number or anything, but just in light that this aligns completely with our legislative policies to gain water supply at Prado Dam. Would the committee want us to write a support letter in concept to the Congresswoman and then copy the rest of our delegation?
What do we do? There's not even a bill yet.
Well, it's a draft bill. It's in print, but it doesn't put a bill number. And it's just a concept. Like, we could just say we support this kind of language and concept in any future WERDA legislation. We have not done this in the past. It's just because it aligns so well with our policies and goals that's just why I'm bringing it up.
Any downside? I don't see any downside.
Eric, is there a downside, Director Tran's asking?
No, this bill is literally mom and apple pie. I mean, there's no negative attached to it.
We should be early to the party.
All right. We'll recommend a letter. Any other questions, comments?
Is that a motion?
Not sure. Do we need for a letter? I guess we do.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. Okay. I'll move for a letter of recommendation.
I'll second.
Call the rolls.
I have a Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Now, let me get the. I heard, you know, said there's no negativity from this bill. There's no intended. Can we brainstorm any unintended consequences by this action? It appears positive, but there's always unintended consequences. Have you, Eric, thought of anything that might come up that would be a potential problem?
The only negative or adverse consequence would be that the core, being the core, will demand the right to do the project work as opposed to the local sponsor, because the core tends to do the work and pay for the work alongside of the non-federal sponsor's contribution. But you know, other than the fact that they are opening up water resource project definition to water supply, that's the only thing I see, Director Sheldon.
Will they be asking for funds going forward? Would they be seeking out their own projects? Because right now they respond to what comes to them. Would they be on their own volition trying to do things?
I guess if you took a broad interpretation, the Corps could make a request through the budget process that they would fund a water supply project that they would manage. But I think it, more likely what would happen is that an organization like yourself would ask for the Corps to approve the project, like a sort of a chief's report, and then Congress would get that report, and then Congress would basically authorize and then appropriate monies for the project. So I think that's more
opening
likely.
Up a whole new level, and I mean, I like, you know, there, it's kind of goes back to the co-equals of the Bay Delta, you know, being those were environmental and water supply. Here it's flood protection and water supply, but it's opening up a whole new level of government activity. And, you know, I'm just thinking out that to me could, there's going to be unintended things going on. And why wouldn't they seek out grants and funding and monies to do this water supply thing or that thing? Or
yeah, I can't argue.
I'll chew on it some more, but of course I think it's great. And we've talked about co-equals of the Prado and that the positive nature there. So does it make it co-equal? Does it make flood control, or does it make water supply on the same level of as importance as flood control?
So it would make it, I don't know if I'd argue, I'm not comfortable saying it's co-equal, but it certainly would be considered co-eligible. I'm not trying to be cute. I think that really this stems from years of frustration that the Corps has said, we don't do water supply, go away. And so this is an example where Napolitano is saying, I want the Corps to have the ability, or shall we say, non-federal sponsors to have the ability to go to the Corps of Engineers and do water supply projects.
But it would give them the right to eligible to initiate on their own accord. Now, if we approach them for water supply, they really say, no, we're a flood control. I mean, they're supportive, but is there any thought that maybe we want to make it, you know, they have the right to do it when asked? Versus they have the right to do it when they want.
Well, you certainly could say the former when asked, as opposed to they have the right.
Just thinking out, you know.
Yeah. You know, you raised some interesting points. I guess I would say maybe what we could do, Director Sheldon, is when we craft the letter of conceptual support, we raise the issue of concern.
It discusses with other stakeholders. I'm just thinking, you know, this is a big change for, this is a big, big change for the Corps of Engineers. It truly is. And, you know, discuss it with other stakeholders and let's get their view on raising some of these questions.
Okay.
Those are my thoughts. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I had a quick question of Eric on a previous, the $5 billion nationally for PFAS remediation. Would it be unreasonable to expect that California would receive roughly a per capita share in terms of our population?
No. The reason I say that so quickly is the formula is that drives the drinking water SRF program is based on population, but also need, and that's an issue of the way allocation. So by example, they gave the first tranche, if you will, of funding, I believe was $1 billion that was put out to the country at large from the pot of money. And California received $169 million. So if you use that as a baseline number, you're looking at basically about 10% going to California.
Yeah, and we should get about 12 usually, something like that. Okay, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'd recommend that we put two of these updates, both state, federal updates, on the board agenda for the 17th.
I think it's St. Calendar.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't want to do a roll call on the letter after all.
I'm sorry. Well, we need to do that. I forgot. Okay, please do.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Item number 4, Children's Water Education Festival.
Thank you, Chair. We have Danny Birch, Public Affairs, to provide a brief update on where we are with the Children's Water Education Festival.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Happy 2024. So I'll be giving a quick update on the Children's Water Education Festival. So as a recap, this is the 27th festival. It's a field trip for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. This year, it'll be held on March 27th and 28th at UC Irvine. And a quick update on some of our numbers. For schools, we have almost 6,000 students registered. We're excited because this is about 1,500 more students than we had in 2023. We have 25 presenters signed up so far. We're hoping to get some more, but we have some OCWD ones listed there. We have 14 volunteers. We're going to continue to solicit volunteers. A lot sign up closer to the event. We have 3 sponsors confirmed so far, totaling $10,000. So we appreciate them, but we're going to continue to look for more sponsors as well. And for next steps, we're just going to continue to follow up with teachers, presenters, volunteers, and sponsors, continue our regular meetings, and continue to update you along the way. So unless there are any questions, I'll pass it back to Gina.
Is Disney going to get more involved?
So we actually have a meeting with Disney coming up to kind of discuss their involvement. They've said that they've indicated that they'll have the same involvement as last year, but we'll be meeting with them soon.
Pretty good bunch of registration.
Yeah, it's a great job. Kudos to them.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And that's all we have for the festival. Yeah, in terms of Disney, I think their participation for the foreseeable future will be different than it ever has in the past. So I think they'll still support the event. They will still provide the 4 booths, a lot of giveaways. They'll have their presence, but that's about it. No financial contribution. They'll help with the volunteers. But in terms of helping like with graphics and things like that, even that now has fallen on OCWD staff. So we've taken on that. But definitely they're still a great partner.
You know, on the agenda, I have a question here. So a dollar amount, the $265,000. Mm-hmm. Is that hard cash or is that... including the hours that it's got.
So the 265,000 is what is budgeted in OCWD's budget for the Children's Art Education Festival. And that's given that we seek to offset that cost with sponsorship.
Right. But my question is, is that hard cash, you know, that's allocated, or is it calculated based on the hours that the staff also put in to work on this project?
No, it's just the hard cash that's allocated. We're not calculating staff time.
Any other questions? Comments? Seeing none, moving. Public affairs outreach, something. Last item.
Great. Thank you, Chair Tran. So I have a brief update on outreach. The report in your packet included the December outreach update, but I also want to touch on, given that we're in January, just to give a brief highlight of 2023 public affairs outreach that the district participated in. So for December, we continue to have a really robust tour program. In fact, we were just talking today, and as of now, it really has picked up to kind of the pre-COVID levels that we have seen in the past. So we are continuing to ramp up our tour program. Media and the stakeholder outreach. We did have a bump in media in December, but it was due to a lot of news coming out about the DPR regulations that were set on December 19th, as well as some PFAS news as well. So here were some of the articles that came out in December. Maple was interviewed for one on that December 19th. And then I've participated with Water Reuse National and Water Reuse California this week, just kind of helping to prepare responses for the water reuse community, talking points, messaging. So we're very much engaged in that effort. So that concludes December's. For some of the 2023 highlights, we wanted to give the committee an idea of all of the accomplishments that the district has done to outreach for its programs and projects. So for tours, we had 117 tours. We do have a lot more virtual tours than we've had in the past, but I think it's a mix of both. And then we do continue tours of other facilities as well. Community engagement and education. We had 82 speakers bureau, and those are the ones we counted in our document. I'm sure that some of them happened and we didn't quite capture that. So we continue to be engaged in the industry amongst our community and with elected officials as well. Some of the events that were hosted in 2023 include these kind of nearly 10 events here that are listed, the festival, our summit. We did some commemorative events for the 90th and for our GWRS dedication as well. Webinars, so we do continue to host district monthly. Now we are seeing more like transition into a quarterly format, right? So during COVID, we were doing them monthly, and then I think a little bit of Zoom fatigue endured. So we've now done kind of a quarterly basis, but we still see a really good participation on webinars. Anywhere from 150 to just under 300 folks we're getting on OCWD webinars. So I think that's really great. I think it's comparable. I think Aqua had a webinar, maybe they were getting in the 100. So we're seeing really good numbers for OCWD webinars, and we'll continue to do quarterly webinars. Our school education programs, we continue our Next Generation Water Leaders, our Children's Water Education Festival that Danny just reported on, and our Prado Wetland virtual field trip, which according to Inside the Outdoors has been one of the most successful programs in a virtual format. So we will continue to offer those and are looking to kind of tweak and enhance some of our school programs. Construction outreach, we still continue to do that for PFAS, general maintenance, and construction outreach. And so we did have some PFAS and monitoring well ones for the 2023 year. Awards, 2023 was a big year for awards for the groundwater replenishment system, being that the district successfully brought that project fully online. So there were nearly 20 awards for the project and some of the key individuals behind that project. So I believe at this time we are mostly done applying for the awards for that final expansion, and we will definitely look for future opportunities to highlight district projects and programs. Print and digital publications. In 2023, we completed a revised edition of the history book, as well as a campaign for our GWRS 15. We continue to push out our updated monthly hydrospectives, and we have a higher than average reader rate for that publication. And then on a quarterly basis, we do our PFAS articles, our groundwater cleanup updates. We had 23 press releases for 2023, and then we continue to publish new photos and videos on an ongoing basis. So for our website analytics for 2023, we had about 260,000 page views for OCWD, and the top 10 pages are listed there. So we continue to get a lot of traffic on our website, and we're going to be working this year on kind of refining some of the pages. We have a lot of good information, but we want to make sure all of it is up to date and take down things that are not as utilized. For media futures for 2023 alone, we had 2.3 billion hits for media. So this is just a sampling of some of our top publications. Some of them were in the mainstream news, like ABC7, while others in trade publications. So district projects and programs continue to be captured, and a lot of stormwater capture coverage as well. Social media, I did want to say kudos to Crystal and the team for gaining a 15% increase in social media in 2023. So I think we're pushing out a lot of new content and taking advantage of trends and highlighting the district in an appropriate manner. We did publish a year-end review video for those who haven't seen it. It is posted on our YouTube. Oops, I don't want to take the time there to watch it. But that concludes my presentation. For upcoming dates, I just wanted to mention OCWD is a sponsor of the TET Festival, and that's February 10th. So I know Director Nguyen is participating. So any other directors that would like to participate, please let us know.
Sure.
Okay, perfect.
Vehicle for that?
Yes, yeah, so we have the tour park, which we've had in past years. Yes, yeah, so the OCWD, kind of like a tour cart that accommodates about
12.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes, so our maintenance staff will drive that, and we'll have a banner. If there's any other needs, just let me know and we can make sure to coordinate that.
Great job on all the presentation materials. I mean, really consistent book, and it just kind of begs people to read the colors, the layout. Yeah. Very nice.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah, we have Meta has been working on really bringing up all of our stuff to branding and vibe. So thank you for noticing.
Okay, we are. Almost done here. Directors, announcements, and reports.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add a comment regarding the letter on the core, if we could have some dialogue with Eric. You know, the Bureau of Reclamation is the federal agency charged with water supply. The Corps of Engineers is under the Department of Defense. And so I think we should just kind of think a little more on this. And what powers are being granted. So that's my comment as to the letter that we approved.
Okay.
Okay. AQUA ratified the committee chair and vice chairs this morning.
What happened?
The AQUA president recommends chairs and vice chairs of all the AQUA committees. And they, the AQUA board ratified that this morning.
Thank you.
Without any problems.
Any other reports? Okay, general managers.
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report. Your last. I
don't have your last. That's the last one.
Sing that.
Our New Year's one song.
Harriet Weider Award. That takes me back to the bankruptcy circuit, the Orange County bankruptcy. But I don't see that name real frequently.
That's right. Okay. Can we place the public or the Children Waters Education Festival update on the for the board here?
Yeah, everything will be on the consent.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.